We are in the book of Ephesians. Sermon 33. We are moving, and we are on the brink of receiving our whole armor of God. Amen. We need it. We need it. But somebody said you got to be in shape. Now y'all know I said it earlier. You know, they don't give you your equipment on the first day of practice. They got to work you a little bit, you know, a couple two a day. Some folks just don't make it, and they don't want to be chasing around trying to get their equipment back. Amen. But we have had a wonderful study. We are winding it up. We're going to talk to children today, parents, servants. We're going to bring the gospel to the home. Then we're going to take it to school. And then we're going to take it to our businesses, our place where we work at. And that's the design of Christianity. We don't want to just sit with it in the pews. And a lot of us leave our Christianity in the pews. We talked last week how we leave our Bibles in the back window and the sun beat them all up and they curl all up and turn orange. And then you go to turn the pages, they fall all out. Let's stand. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 through 9 of this great book. And we're going to preach from the title of Knowing That You Have a Master in Heaven. Knowing you have a master in heaven. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Amen. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Yeah. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free.
Yes.
And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Children, fathers, employers, employees, bosses, administrators, we're going to talk to all those folks because it's important that the gospel message go out into our works, places of work, in the business world, schools, and especially in our homes. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, for so many children out today, so many young people out today, I believe it's because you brought them here this morning to hear what thus say the word of God. Parents, I ask that this morning that you would settle your children and take away the text tools and all the things that may distract them. This is a very important message for our young people. Thank you, Father God, for the parents that are here, the grandparents, the guardians, those that love our young people. Fill them with power to raise them. It takes energy, it takes strength, it takes courage to raise a child in this day and age. And we pray right now that we that the parents would have courage to raise their children in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been talking since chapter 4 of walking a worthy walk, and Paul has after giving 3 chapters of doctrine, 3 chapters of teaching, he started in chapter 4, and really all this is really one long sermon. He starts in chapter 4. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Mm-hmm. In chapter 5, he starts off, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
Yeah.
As dear children. You know, and then we talked that Sunday about what a dear child is. You know, a dear child is that parent knows when she has a dear child. Okay? You know, a parent knows when they have a dear child.
Amen.
A child is going to stick with them through thick and thin.
Amen.
Every child ain't a dear child. We need to know that, because we want to make every child a dear child. But every child's not a dear child. We want to be dear children of God. We want God to look down on us and say, that's a dear child of mine. We want God to look down on us like he looked down at Job and says, you know, have you considered Job? How about that? What would God say about us in our walk? If Satan wanted to mess with us, or went to God, say, give me one of your better ones. I want to mess with something. I want some competition. I want somebody that's going to put up a fight. Could he find one in here that's going to put up a fight? I want to touch that marriage. No, don't touch that one. It ain't. That one will fall apart. You blow on that a little bit. I want to touch that family. No, don't touch that family. They're not there yet. We want to be dear children. And if we want to master our children, we need to make sure we have a master. And that's what he's talking about here. He's speaking to the church. Okay, some people say, well, you know, this day and age. No, this is the church that Paul is preaching to. The church has been established. Okay? Now we talk about it as Baptist folks, and I don't push the Baptist banner, but we Baptist folks, we not Protestant. Baptist folks didn't come out of the Reformation movement. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. Okay, this church was around Paul's day. Okay, this was a church, and it consisted of women and men and children. Okay, this is not the sanctuary. This is not the synagogue or the Jewish synagogue here. This is an established church where folks had a role. Paul was teaching a church. Okay, and now he's addressing the children. And good preaching ought to address the children. I try to touch the children every Sunday. I try to. I want you to be a part of the worship experience, a part of the church experience. I want you to be the future of this church. When I look out and see Bobby and Jeremy and Keelan and little Justin, hopefully in the years to come, these young men will be sitting here. Okay? Because all we're doing is setting it up to pass the torch.
Amen.
So they need to know. And they're going to have children. Okay? And they need to know. So Paul says children. He's not talking to babes. Not talking to jailers with a baby. He's talking to children who are able to understand and comprehend the Word of God. Remember, Daniel and the Hebrew boys, even Mary, these people were probably 13, 14 years old when God called them, when God came into their life and gave them a monumental task. They were able to do it. When we have 12 and 13 years old, I call y'all out. That's why I call y'all. Come up here and read. Okay? At 13 and 14 years old, you consider an adult. And you know, I have the restaurant theory. Once you stop eating off the children's menu, you ought to be able to do adult things. Okay? I mean, once you can put down a quarter pounder with cheese, a large fry, and a milkshake, you ought to be able to do adult things. Am I making sense? So he's not talking to babies. Okay? Keelan, you're not a baby. Children. Paul starts out, obey your parents. Obey your parents. And that word obey is an action word. It means do what they ask you to do. Listen, turn to Mark 4. Some people, I like to illustrate things, and I like to use the Word of God to do it. I just want to let you know what it means to obey. It don't mean to back talk and sass off and why me and you know, little Jeremy, I did it last time, it ain't my time, and glory to Jeremy, go back. No, it's no. Oh, yeah. Look. Uh-oh, did I say Mark? I meant Matthew. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I got mad. I'm, stay there. Please stay there. Mark chapter 4. Listen. Y'all remember the story of Jesus on the ship. And he's sleeping. Because he's the creator of everything. He is the master of everything. Okay? Now, we talk about this word obey. And a great... And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full of water, full of fear. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Kids was acting up. He was asleep. Y'all, some of you parents been there asleep, and the kids is acting up. Playing with water and fussing, and that's what all this represents to all-knowing, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent God. And they awake him. Some of y'all parents remember these days? And say unto him, Master, cares not that we perish. And he arose. This is the Father rising up. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. What a sight. What a sight. What it's like to see the man of God in total control of a situation. And he said unto them, to the children, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? How is it? You're a child of God. You come to church. every Sunday and you have no faith. Let me stay there for a second. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We talk about hope in Sunday school. And but look here's our text. And they feared exceedingly. They was more afraid now after the storm than they were in the storm. And Jesus seen that. And listen to these little ones. And said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? Now, I know I covered a lot of ground to get to the point of obedience. The Word of God says, children, obey your parents. Obey them like the sea and the wind obeyed Jesus. That's a strong picture of obedience. Now, listen here, parents, before, you know, we get to nudging our children. Okay? Obey your parents in the Lord. Okay? Obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents because it's the right thing to do. Obey your parents because God sees you when your parents don't. See, obedience travels with you away from your parents. When you're not with your parents, you can still hear their loving, instructional voice saying, you really don't need to do that. You know, if I find out, it's going to be all bad. You know your last name is known throughout the city. So if you mess up your name, children, obey your parents in the Lord. They are like the Lord's watching you, not them. Then he said, but Pastor, why? You know, my parents, you know, they ain't right all the time. They ain't, listen, why? Here's why. For it is right. That's why. God said it. That settles it. For it, this is right. That's why you obey your parents. Well, like my mother, you say, I listen, boy, I brought you into this world and take you out. See, well, some of what you young folks doing in this day and age is unthinkable in our day and age. Amen. Thanks to Dr. Spock. Dr. Spock went around when I was coming up, because my father was tearing up everything in the house. And I did hear his voice. Everywhere I went, it was like my father right there. Listen, obey him. Don't sass him. Don't be like the little girl. She was in the car and the father said, sit down. She said, sit down. He had to tell her a couple of times, sit down. And finally she sat down. And she said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing tall on the inside. That stuff happens. Listen, honor thy father and mother. And now we go from the word obedience, which means in your actions. And then Paul uses another word. He says, honor. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that word honor takes it to a whole different realm. Now we're talking about a reverence that we ought to have for our father and mother. And believe me, it does not stop at 18. Amen. You honor your father and mother until the day they die. this. Correct me until the day you die. Okay? Now listen, young folks. Because see, young folks is leaving here early and earlier. Okay? Leaving here earlier and earlier. I just, and again, y'all, I sit here, I'm a working preacher. And y'all know I work at the big house. Listen. They coming in younger and younger. Okay? I asked Ray this morning, okay, Ray, you know you in all my service because I love you. Okay? And I talked to Bobby and Keelan and Justin and little Jeremy because I love you guys. Okay? You need to have a 10-year plan. And once you fulfill the 10-year plan, you need to add another 10 on it. Okay? And Monty, if I got it right, you need a 10-year plan. And the brother that comes smelling around, he needs to have a 10-year plan. Okay? Oh, that 10-year plan. What you going to be doing in 10 years? Well, you're 14 years old. You ought to have an inkling. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, somebody got to, what's that one mean, Pastor? What's the first commandment with promise? Go to Exodus chapter 20. Listen. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Why is it important that your days be long? Because God has created us to serve Him. And He wants you to serve Him all the days of thy life. Some of you young people in here have an opportunity to do what some of us never had. Some of you can start serving God right now at 13, 14 years old. Think of the impact that you can make on this world. Think of the opportunity that you can have to serve God and to minister and to evangelize and to witness and to testify of the goodness of God. Satan want to kill you. Satan want to destroy you. He don't want you hearing this word. He don't want you thinking about serving God all your life. He knows that a child in the hands of God is a powerful weapon against him. So he wants you to start up joking and being a class clown and start smoking dope and getting high and running around and that's what he wants. He has a threefold plan. It has not changed. Why change success? His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Boy, listen, get my phone number, young ladies. So when the boy asks you for your phone number, give him mine. You don't like them all anyway. Doris didn't ask you for your phone number. Give him your pastor. So they called in Doris home. Yeah, she home. Y'all been there. Y'all bad. It's a bad crowd. Listen. That word honor means reverence. It means reverence. Reverence your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is not based on the fact that my father wasn't no good or my papa was a rolling stone. That's not what this is saying. This is for you. This is for you. See, now when you become a father, and you will, Who would have thought? You guys watch little Justin grow up in this church. And now he got a son and one on the way. And it won't be long that little Justin going to be getting married and having babies. Listen. Verse 3. That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long. Who don't want to live long? You want to live long. Young people, the formula for living long lives is honoring and reverencing your parents. And when I say parents, I don't mean just your mother and father. I think the Word of God here talks, you may have a cousin, you may have an auntie, you may have a grandmother raising you. I'm talking about your primary caregiver. Those that love you and want to see the right thing for you, that's the person you honor. I was recently asked to be a godparent. We need to take those things seriously. And the children ought to know. Honor your father and mother. Listen, verse number 4. I'm trying to stay with the little outline I have here. You know, Jake be getting on me. He think I'm going to do a Saturday night special. Listen. We want to obey our parents. We want to honor our parents. Listen. I have a great story out of the Word of God. Look at Deuteronomy 21. See, y'all brought up in a wonderful day and age. Here's a great story out of Deuteronomy 21 for you young folks. Somebody say, well, Pastor, I know you want to get that one enacted. Bring it back, huh? Look at Deuteronomy 21 and 18. Now, this is how they used to do it. They didn't have jails and prisons neither. Okay? You know, everybody had a rock garden. Everybody had a rock garden. You know, we just had a rock garden. You know, we'd ride out and say, go get that rock, boy. Put that rock in the back of the cart. Put it in the rock garden. Look. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, or the voice of his grandmother, or his grandfather, or his uncle, or his auntie, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, or obey them, or reverence them, or do what they ask him to do, then shall his father and his mother, or his auntie and his uncle, or his grandfather and his grandmother, or his pastor. Then shall his father and mother lay hold on him. Wait till he's asleep. Yeah, you know, wait till he's asleep. You know, get the duct tape and stuff out. Lay hold on him. Then text the community. Huh? Listen. Then shall his mother, his father and his mother. Y'all ever notice the order in the Word of God? Okay. Then shall his father and his mother. See, the NBA got us messed up. They don't never even thank the father at all for nothing. That's another story. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city. His city. And personal because they know this boy.
Yeah.
They said, yeah, how long are you going to put up with that boy? Stubborn and rebellious, glutton and a drunkard. Y'all think I'm adding this. Some of y'all think I'm making this stuff up. This right here. Then shall his father and mother lay hold of him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. And will not obey our voice. He eat up everything in the house. Just tore the hinges off the refrigerator. Microwave always going off. Drink up everything in the house. Just a rebellious glutton and a drunkard. Lay around all the time, go ask him to do something, won't do nothing. Just sorry. Just sorry. And now they don't know how it was. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Amen. Now I didn't have to add in, but nothing. That's just there. That's just there. That is just the word of God. Listen, listen. Fathers, we can move on. He's going to talk to these fathers again. Okay? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, wrath means violent anger. Okay? Now, we can sit here and say, well, you know, some of us push our kids too much. You push them. You're making them mad. You're making them angry. There is a way to do these things. Okay? He said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, to provoke means to push them. Look at just say jugging at them. I like to jug at them. So I'm getting better. I'm going to be a better father after this. I'm not preaching to you.
Okay.
Provoke not your children to wrath. But there's a flip side. You just got to be careful that you don't provoke them to wrath by being too compromising. So you can provoke a child to wrath by not giving him no discipline, no guidance, no rod. I think that's a lot of what's wrong with the children today. We're not giving them no rod. We're not giving them no rod. Only rod they're getting is watching the Yankees. You can lead them to wrath and bitterness and anger by not disciplining them. You need to discipline your children. So we have to be careful with scriptures like this. Because some people will say, you provoke them to wrath. No. You can provoke them to wrath by not doing nothing. Just letting them go. Listen. Provoke them. Not under wrath. Listen. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word, that nurture word, is a loving word. That means you love them and you care for them and you provide for them. You give them everything they need to succeed. But there has to be an admonition there. There has to be a godly discipline in their lives. You cannot just let them run. Wow. Now they may get to an age where you can't do anything. But while they're young and their minds are soft, we have to nurture them. And we have to get them to the house of God and get the Word of God in them. The Word of God says, train up a child. Train them up. And in that word training, there's a sense of loving, acceptance of this training. You can't train someone who don't want to train. Just won't. You can't disciple an unsaved person. They're unsaved. They're not going to. You can sit here and prod them and poke them and beg them. They're not saved. That's all. We don't like to say that. We think everybody comes to church saved. They're just not saved. Okay? Listen. We want to honor our parents. For this is right. We're moving right along here. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Okay? Be not overly severe and critical. Abuse not your parental rights. Okay? Do as I say, not as I do. Don't work. Because they're going to do what they see you do. And when they get old, they're going to go where they seen you go. And if mama's nickname starts with a B, provoke them not to wrath. Ain't no use telling them not to cuss when you cuss. Or not to drink when you drink. And if you drive like a fool, guess what? When they get their license, they're going to drive like a fool. And if they see you giving someone not driving fast enough the bird, they're going to give them the bird. Don't stir them up to sin. Don't stir them up to sin. They watch you. Provoke them not to wrath. There's an old saying, monkey see, monkey do. Bring them up. Nurture them. Nurture them. Listen. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. We live in this time where we have to nurture them. We have to warn them of the dangers that lurk out there. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, be sober and be vigilant. This is the warning that we need to give our children every time they leave the house, every time they go to school, every time they go to any type of activity, whether it's a school activity, a church activity, any type of function. We need to let them know that to be sober, pay attention. Okay, don't let it leave your drink. It's just pop. Just don't leave it. If you got to go somewhere, you get a call, pour it out. And I know they cost some money now. I know them Pepsi's cost, at the roller rink, they may cost $2. Well, you better hold on to it. But if you have to leave, these folks crazy today. Be sober, be vigilant, pay attention to your surroundings, young people, to where you're going, the people you hang out with. Know your surroundings, know the company you keep. Talk about the young girl who last week, they gave the boy 20 years. They gave the drug dealer 20 years. But she's saying that her best friend, she watched her best friend take heroin. Listen, your best friend can't be taking heroin. You can't watch them lay on the floor foaming at the mouth and don't do nothing. Amen. Be careful. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's not trying to take a bite out of you. He'll take that if that's all he can get. That's all he should get. If you're on the run, he'll get a little bite out of you. That might wake you up, but his real goal is to devour you. destroy you. Destroy you. We have to do the work of ministry. Parents, look at Hosea 4 and 6. Listen, we talk about this text. It says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. And if the parents reject knowledge, how are we going to give it to the children? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Talking to me. I can't be a priest to the people if I'm not giving them the word of God. The job of the preacher is not to be the most popular man in town. Not a popularity contest. Listen, because thou hast forgotten the law of God, listen, I will also forget thy children. That's the word of God. I'm not adding anything to it. It is the word of God. If the men of God and women of God in the house have no knowledge of God, you cannot give it to your children. You can only give them what you have. And if you have a lot of junk in your trunk,
come on,
you're going to give them junk. And nobody operates on a fast food, sugar diet. You give a child $50 to tell them to go in the grocery store and get what they want. Okay? You will have more pizzas than we probably bring here on Thursday. Pizza and ice cream. Amen. Amen. Listen. Oh. Employees. Verse number 7. Employees. No, verse number 5. I'm sorry. Verse number 5 through 7. Listen. Servants. Employees. Back you remember back in this day, when they talk about servants, you could be a doctor, and if you fell into debt, you were made a servant. You had to serve. Your whole family would be bought, and you would have to serve. And Paul's talking, but these folks were still allowed to come to church, and they were still hearing the word of God. And Paul was empowering them how to live as a servant, how to live in a restricted environment and still serve God. He said, servant, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Give them what the body can give them. Give them all the outward work that they can get. Now watch this. This is important that we don't miss this. Servant, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. All they master is your flesh. They can tell you what to do. They can tell you how to work, how hard to work, what to do. Okay? But watch this. According to the flesh, do it with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Be the best worker. Be the very best. Not because of your master, but because of your master in heaven. You don't want to give God a bad testimony on your job. Okay? Watch this. Not with eye service. Okay? Y'all see it. Some of y'all working people. You know, when the boss come around, that's the busiest person. Okay? When they want something, they busy. They do anything you ask them to do when the boss is around. As soon as the boss go leave, drop everything. Then we got some man pleasers. Oh yeah, we got some man pleasers. They just man pleasers. And they'll do anything to make man happy. Can't get them to do nothing in church. Oh, can't get them to do nothing in church. But they on every committee on the job. They planning all the parties and they doing everything on the job. You ask them to do something in the house of God. Can't do it. Can't do it. Oh, y'all know it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Men pleasers. But as, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, you get a heart change. God comes into a person's heart, house, home, the heart changes. Okay? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means you got a new heart. New things coming out of you. Look at verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to man. That's how we ought to be. You know, we ain't going to get bossed around and disrespected. You're going to get all that. As a man of God, a woman of God on the job, and you declare that you're a Christian, you're a woman of God or a man of God, you're going to be despised and rejected. You're not going to be popular. You know, see, we want to be popular in church and popular in the world. It don't work. I'm here to tell you, it don't work. Listen. God pays his debts. You're not working for nothing. You're not working for GM and Packard. You're working for the Lord. Okay, you're working for the Lord. Wherever you work at, you're working for the Lord. And when folks come around, they ought to see God at work. We ought to change the atmosphere. And not because, again, not because we got what would Jesus do? Bracelets on and crosses on, and we got Christian music going around, and we saying, "Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed, and too anointed to be disappointed, and we are highly favored, and praise the Lord." How you doing today? Praise the Lord. You gonna change the atmosphere? Folks ain't gonna want to be around you for nothing because you ain't no good. How you doing today? Praise the Lord. I'm doing blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Highly favored. Until you drop something on your foot. Who was that? That was Sister So-and-so. With the blue jean dress on with no lipstick. Listen. Knowing... Verse number 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, okay, people of God, the same shall receive of the Lord. God will pay you. God pays his bill. He pays his bill. Listen, whether he be bond or free. Whether you be the master or the employee, if you are a man of God, God knows everybody ain't going to be happy with you. But guess what? God is paying you. When your little baby hop off the school bus and didn't have a bad day, nobody hit her in the head, listen, God has blessed you. When you go home and your answer machine ain't no calls on there, God has blessed you. When you wake up in the morning and you feel okay, not great, but you feel okay, God has blessed you. God is in the blessing business. When you can come to the house of God, hear the word of God, sing glory to his name, God is good. God has paid his bill. Listen, look at, oh, this is a good text here. Look at 1 Corinthians 5 and 10. And I know, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here. 2 Corinthians, excuse me, people. 2 Corinthians. Uh-oh. Y'all hear that? 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. This is a wonderful, this is a one of the most, this is highlightable. If you mark your Bible, mark this. This is important. This is important. Because, see, we worry about earthly stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Temporal stuff. Yes. God not worry about earthly, temporal stuff. Listen. Look at verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 5. For we must all appear before. I got every one of them words circled. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Listen, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 7. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We're in a begging business. We are begging men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Listen, it is important that you get an understanding of the fact that you will be judged. Live like it. This is God is calling us to live like it. We're not calling for sinless perfection. That's not what he's saying here. But there is a way that we ought to live based on the knowledge that we have of God. Look at, I'm just going to go here real quick while I'm turning back to Ephesians. Look at Galatians 6 verse 7. And it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's all I need to read. So what you're putting out is what you're going to get back. What you're putting in the ground is what you're going to get out of the ground. You put corn in the ground, corn coming up. You can't put corn in the ground and go out there looking for watermelons. You're going to get corn. And if you put mess in the ground, your mess coming up. Listen. Verse number 9. And you masters, he's talking to now, some of us in here, administrators, managers, superintendents, officers, whatever your position is, you got some folks working for you, you got some people that you influence, pay attention. Do the same things unto them. He says, forbearing, threatening. Don't be threatening, folks. You ever work with somebody that's like to threaten you? Well, I'll fire you. Come in my office, you know. Especially the little short supervisors. You're the little short one. Got the Napoleon complex. Want to boss folk around all the time. I don't know. Y'all looking at Margaret and Vernon. Listen. He says, forbearing, threatening. Don't be just threatening folks. Because you're in a position to do it. Because you have to answer. You have to answer to a holy God. And what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you run around bossing folks around, threatening folks. Listen. You got to pay for that. Amen. Especially as people of God. It shouldn't even be part of our nature. We ought not be threatening and condemning folks. And you masters do the same things unto them. What? Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. If you're a master, you got a master. Neither is there respect of persons with him. So you want to act like a fool? Y'all remember Haman and Esther? I'm not going there. Esther chapter 3. Haman got a little power. Haman got a little power. The king of Azariah gave him a little power. And then Haman wanted everybody to bow down to him. Well, Mordecai didn't bow down to him. Mordecai knew that Haman wasn't no good. And wouldn't bow down to him. And Haman went after Mordecai. Until it all came out. It got to the king. Esther came in for such a time as this. And we built the beams. And guess what? Haman, if you keep reading through Esther, Haman and all 10 of his sons. This is how God deals with folks. All 10 of his sons got hung on the same gallows that Haman had made for Mordecai. Be careful. Let me close. with Luke 16. We're going to talk about a rich man, and he was a boss. I'm going to talk about bosses in heaven. I mean, bosses in hell. I ain't going to talk too much about hell this morning because I'm talking about hell this afternoon. but look at Luke 16. Now we know this story, and I'm just gonna sort of just go through. He had a rich man fair sumptuously every day. This man fared sumptuously every day. Every day he fared like ate like a king, buffet style. Okay, Mr. Rich Man got a golden crowd going on. Folks working and serving it up. Careless. Listen, there's a man outside his gates, desiring to be fed by the crumbs that fell from the man's table. Wouldn't give him nothing. Lord, the dogs came and comforted him. Licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Buried. Had Prince singing at his funeral. He loved purple. Minnesota Vikings was there and all that. Purple rain. He had a big old funeral. Purple hurts everything. Some of y'all are living for a big funeral. Boy, y'all want to have a big funeral. I want everybody there. Yeah. Listen. They buried him. All that for nothing. A lot of waste of money. And in hell. What? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. How do you lift up your eyes in hell? You got to be alive. Can't lift up dead eyes. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Picture of Lazarus in Abraham's bosom is basically picture of Lazarus in heaven, he in hell. And he cried out. Here we go, the big shot in hell. You know, if you're a big shot here, you die a big shot, you're going to be in hell a big shot. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus. Wait a minute. Still calling shots. Still bossing folks around. It don't stop. Some of y'all think this is it. It's going to stop this when this is over. This life is over. Or when this life is over. No. It ain't over. Y'all heard me say it before. Everybody in hell believe in Jesus. Listen. Send Lazarus. That he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You see, it don't stop. He just still bossing folks around. He still just think he all that in a bag of chips. And besides all this, he said, and then Jesus said, listen. You reaping what you sow, big boy. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, ain't that something? Mm-hmm. Abraham called him son. He in hell. And Abraham called him son. Ain't that something saved in hell? Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things. See, in your lifetime, you live your best life already. You had all the good things. See, some of us want good things now. This man had good things. He lived his best life now. Amen. And Lazarus had evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides this, there's a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I can't get there. Listen, he ain't done. Still calling shots. Now he's praying though. Here's a good prayer. Here's a good prayer. I want to preach a service, a series on prayer. Here's one. Praying for hell. How about that? Then he said, I pray. This is a fantastic prayer. Coming from hell. Then he said, I pray. I pray thee. Therefore, Father. He's Father now. Thou wouldest send him to my Father's house. What a prayer. What a great prayer. For I have five brethren. I got some loved ones that if they don't hear the word of God and they don't get saved, they living just like me because they love me. And if they die like I died, and they will die, then if they don't die saved, they're going to come here with me. Listen, nobody in hell, your worst enemy, don't want to see you come. Notice he didn't ask to leave himself. There's no exit signs in hell. He knew that. He knew the doctrine. He knew the gospel. This man knew the word of God and failed to apply it to his own life. And he died and went to hell. And he said, I have five brothers that he may testify unto them. They wanted him to go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Y'all see me up here spitting and stammering. I want y'all to hear the word of God. Amen. Now you can sit here and look silly if you want to, but you better believe you got some lost, some hell, loved ones in hell. And like I say, they tugging at me. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to Bobby and Keelan and Jeremy and Doris. Preach it to them. Don't let them come down here. They still love you. I know they ain't happy music, happy servant. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, that they also come unto this place of torment. That's what hell is. It's a place of torment. Constant memories of all the opportunities that you had. All the opportunities you had, all the times that you sat in church with your mother and father and your grandmothers and you didn't hear it, you didn't apply it to your life, and you lived like a hellion, you died like a hellion. You did whatever you was big and bad enough to do. Now you are in hell. And he said, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the gospel. And he said, no. Still a big shot in hell. No, Father. Abraham. No, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. No, they won't. No, they won't. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. People, children, I'm not talking to these babies. I'm not talking to babes. Children. Jesus said, forbid not the children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. What he's saying, don't neglect preaching to the young people, to the children. Preach to them. Jill, you old enough to understand this. Honor your mother and father. You just can't honor one parent if you have two. Don't let Satan use you, young people, to divide your home. Honor your mother and father. If you were living with your grandmother, honor your grandmother. If you live with your auntie, honor your auntie. Honor folks that love you.
Amen. Yes, sir. I love you. It's true.
on the job, be the best. Bosses, be the best. Trustees, be the best. Treasurers, be the best. Choir directors, be the best. Folks working with you in the kitchen, kitchen people, be the best. Sunday school teachers, BBS instructors, be the best. Even if you have one child in your class, teach them like you got 1,000. So that young child of one day, that one child of one day will say, you know what, I went to BBS over that church and I was the only person in that class and that teacher taught me the Word of God.
Amen.
Parents, children, love one another in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
Young people, school be out, be sober. Be vigilant. Be wise. Streets is dangerous. We live in a dangerous world.
Amen.
Some of y'all have seen it and have dealt with it. And it's not a game. It's not a game. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a word to families, fathers and mothers and grandmothers and aunties and uncles and aunts. Thank you for the word. Let us all be better. Better fathers, better mothers, better children. Let us know that we represent you. Not just on Sundays, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. We represent you. Let us glorify you in the way we serve one another. Let us glorify you in the way we parent our children. Touch these young folks. Guide and direct them, Father God. We losing too many of our young ones. Be with them. Guide and protect them. Give them the power to withstand the peer pressure to drink and smoke and have teen sex and all that. Let them live holy lives. Let them know there's nothing wrong with being virgins. There's nothing wrong with saving themselves for marriage. There's nothing wrong with being pure and holy. And if that's not enough, Father God, let them know that sexually transmitted diseases are running.